You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
So Dan said last week.
What? Boy, did he.
Yeah, on air, I said it. I don't know what's worse.
I missed a week.
That I said it or the context in which I said it in, which makes no sense. The context. Do you guys have the sound back there? Of the? It will make sense to no one. Even
this
when
is a runaway Suey winner.
Even when I explain it to you, it won't make any sense to you because there is an explanation.
Well, we were, of course, doing Stugatz's top five frozen dinners.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's have you guys guess what happened, because I don't think anyone will successfully guess. I think it'll be like the brackets, where after 2 days and 20 million brackets, none of them were perfect. I don't believe if I give you guys the rest of time to guess what happened in my head here, that you will correctly guess what happened as we talked about Stugatz's top five TV dinners.
Mm. Stovetop. That's the name of it. Stovetop.
Yeah, but
it's not Stouffer's.
It's not Stouffer's, no.
Okay, my bad. I thought it was Stouffer's Stovetop.
What?
Wow.
Any
I think
guesses,
you're right.
Any guesses from anybody on what it is that happened there?
I have a feeling I know where you were going with kind of a stump the meat situation, Dan. I feel like you are a Stovetop popcorn guy, and I felt like you wanted to save Stovetop pop, and then it got stuck, and then
I just
presume
that you wanted to say pizza, and it came out as the other thing.
The other thing.
I can't bring myself to say that word. Even knowing
you can say penis,
but that's anatomically correct.
I have used that word very infrequently in my life. I believe that this word is also anatomically correct, though vulgar.
What school did you go to?
You wouldn't open a textbook and see the P word in there.
No,
you
I think Stover Stovetop vagina would be anatomically correct. And that also doesn't make a lot of sense.
This is what actually happened here, because I don't think we can keep guessing on this and you guys will not get it, because I don't know why I decided in that moment that I was going to try and say Stover's Stovetop pudding. But I realized halfway through pudding, it's not pudding. It's stuffing. And
yes.
that's where I got derailed. I tried to to eject, and in the middle of it, that's how it went for me.
Stovetop pudding.
Again, not sensical. It's not, the explanation is no better than what happened. In fact, nothing is better than what happened.
Stovetop. That's the name of it. Stovetop.
Yeah,
but it's not Stouffer's.
It's not Stouffer's. No.
Okay, my bad. I thought it was Stouffer's Stovetop.
What?
Wow. No.
I thought it was Stouffer's Stovetop.
We got the best possible outcome.
Did you get pussing in there? Is that what I actually end up saying? I try to eject and I make it pussing? Let's update Stugatz.
The there is like, oh, God.
Yeah, that's how it felt. It swept through me and stayed with me for about 4 days after that. Couldn't shake it off of me. It's like I'd been tasered while trying to say it.
I wish that happened on ESPN so bad.
Well, did you guys see that yesterday? And we're going to talk to FAU's coach Dusty May in a second. But did you see that one of their players was on, Jonnell Davis was on after the game, and he said, I've been trying to prove this shit since day one. Oh, no, is what he said. And then the sideline reporter says, that's all right. We're on True TV, man.
Anything goes.
The rules of broadcasting do not apply to True TV.
Do you guys watch anything else on True TV? Anything at all? Because I saw a graphic, a chart for what True TV gets in terms of numbers, and March obviously is off the charts, but the rest of the time they are not, they are a viable network, but not a network where a lot of people are watching a lot of things.
No, I think Impractical Jokers might be their only programming. I was watching.
It's like MTV. They just play that one show.
I was watching the first round of the men's tournament. It was on Friday night at a bar, and coverage ended on True TV, so Impractical Jokers came on, and Inez Kanter was on Impractical Jokers, and I was like, first of all, this bar is slacking. You need to know as soon as the game ends. Turn on CBS or TNT. There's another game on. But Impractical Jokers was playing for like 45 minutes. I think that's all they have.
You cannot leave True TV in the hands of a sports bar. It'll be on there 3 weeks after the tournament ends. There will still be a TV on True TV.
I don't know, given the way this segment started, if I could be trusted to pronounce anything. But I always thought it was Enos. Am I pronouncing it wrong on Kanter? I may be.
I think it's 6-1 and half a dozen the other.
What?
It's what?
Let's update our tournament, the Midwest March Sadness, brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. I will tell you again, and this is honest because you know I don't say anything at all in the way of advertising. Dollar Shave Club for many years now has been showing me that there are things that I need that I did not know I needed. Beard bombs, conditioners, things like that. Dollar Shave Club, a very good sponsor for us.
Razors in the mail is a great idea.
For a long time. Stugatz, I was very disappointed this weekend because a lot of our good looks like entries were knocked out.
Yep.
And in the Midwest, you had Houston advance as a one seed. That means this is still in the tournament.
Travis Kelce looks like the one white guy at an HBCU.
That means that all of the following are out. Number 8, Iowa is out.
Tua Tagovailoa looks like the intensely positive Peloton instructor.
That means number 9, Auburn from the Lou Holtz conference is out.
Lou Holtz looked like a bitter old turtle.
Mm. And number 16, Northern Kentucky, is also out.
Daniel Snyder looks like your Uncle Jeff, who just need $23,000 until this whole jet ski thing blow over.
Number 2, Texas advances. That means this is still in the tournament.
Tom Izzo looks like he calls his star player the son I never had, even though he has 4 sons at home.
What did you say about Tom Izzo this morning before you came in here by way of good morning?
He has more wins when he's the lower seed or the higher seed than any coach in tournament history. When he is the underdog, Tom Izzo has the most wins in NCAA tournament history. It's amazing. Tom Izzo is what March is all about. I'm serious.
Can I pull a Chris Cody and make an observation here that's kind of stupid? No offense, Chris Cody. The low seed, high seed thing is
tough.
Very confusing because the low seed is a high number and the high seed's a low number. Always gets me.
Yeah.
I'm going to try not to get offended by that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I think Stugatz, you were right in saying as the lower seed, Tom Izzo would be the underdog. I heard the people talking during the broadcast saying he's 21-7 when he's got a day to prepare. And this was as Shaka Smart, the Marquette coach, was in the timeout huddle teaching his kids or running his kids through breathing exercises as they lost the game.
Did you learn that Shaka Smart was coaching Marquette as you watched that game? That's what I love about March.
I was like, like you, I thought Arizona, I was going to blame Sean Miller, and then I realized he's at Xavier, and he's in the Sweet 16.
I think Shaka Smart is the coach of five different schools. Because I thought he was the Virginia Tech coach, but that was Buzz Williams,
yeah.
Who's no longer the Virginia Tech coach.
Then Buzz went to Marquette.
No, he's at Texas A&M now.
What?
Well, I mean, and Shaka Smart was at Texas. So I'm pretty convinced that Shaka Smart's had seven jobs in the last 5 years.
I learned he was at Marquette last night.
Where's Rick Barnes?
He's Tennessee, right?
Get out of here.
I think he is.
I think so.
It was a big weekend for Stugatz. Musselman took off his shirt to reveal that he was indeed a muscle man.
The Mick Cronin matchup is still on.
Listen, what a bracket. A bracket for the ages. You have Tom Izzo, Mick Cronin, and Eric Musselman all in the same quad, Sweet 16, vying for a chance to go to the Final Four. Poor Mark Few. I mean...
This means, again, in our tournament, March Sadness, brought to you by Dollar Shave Club, that number seven, Texas A&M, Buzz Williams, is out.
Amazing. Vic Fangio looks like the old computer illiterate sales guy that argues with the younger boss that computers don't make sales. Salesmen make sales.
You almost turned seven into sex there. What's going on with you lately?
Number 10, yeah. Penn State. Penn State has been eliminated. That means this is gone.
Rob Gronkowski looked like the guy who made it to his early 30s believing that all dogs are male and all cats are female.
Also gone, number 15, Kennesaw State.
Matt Patricia looks like he picks his teeth with his pinky and says, bonus snack.
That is not what I have for Kennesaw State. I have a different one for Kennesaw State, but Matt Patricia was also eliminated as Colgate. I have Kennesaw State being Tony Baselli looks like the atheist big city lawyer in a Christian movie who in a twist at the end is revealed to be the devil.
Tony Baselli looks like the atheist big city lawyer in a Christian movie who in a twist at the end is revealed to be the devil.
Already said that.
Steve Martin.
Xavier is gone. Three seed. Xavier, again, coached by, I'm sorry, Xavier's still in. Sean Miller is still in.
Get out of here.
You cannot blame Arizona's loss on Sean Miller.
I still can. No, I mean, they're his leftovers.
All right, put it on the poll, Juju. Can you still blame Arizona's loss in the tournament on Sean Miller? Regardless, Sean Miller advances to the Sweet 16, something he did very rarely with those loaded Arizona teams. That means this advances.
Stan Van Gundy looks like the history teacher that all the students try to get sidetracked because he likes to tell long stories, and when he does, he never gets to the lesson.
That means Iowa State, six seed, gone.
Shad Khan looks like an eccentric roller coaster tycoon.
Should have said six seed there. Pitt, number 11, gone.
Steve Belichick looks like he drive a Pabst Blue Ribbon monster truck.
Man.
Also gone, Colgate and the aforementioned Matt Patricia.
Matt Patricia looks like he picks his teeth with his pinky and says, bonus snack.
Mm-hmm. Miami looked really good yesterday. Just swamped Indiana in the first half and in the second half.
Good a chance to win the national title as anyone.
That's what I've been saying.
You might have learned yesterday that Mike Woodson was the Indiana coach.
Get out of here.
And he's wearing a suit.
One of the
Mick Cronin, still wearing a suit. My guy. There's like four coaches left there still wearing suits.
Where's Love Tom Crean?
Willingham is no still, idea. He's doing broadcasting, isn't he?
He is.
Or is he with a team?
This college basketball moves quickly.
Miami advances. That means this advances to the Sweet 16.
Tyler Hero looks like he claims Machine Gun Kelly has done more for hip hop than Dr. Dre.
Tom Crean was at Georgia. Who knew?
Wow. Really?
Number four, Indiana, gone.
Pete Carroll looks like he has a golden retriever named Daisy.
It's amazing that Juju can get that voice.
That was Goat Piss.
That octave on Goat Piss. He could get it on Goat Piss Mike.
I love people that are like new to the show that are just hearing us refer to someone secondhand as Goat Piss.
A human being.
To be honest, I still don't know what or who Goat Piss is.
He did the tournament last year. He did the tournament last year. He used to be a caller. He's got a funny voice, but that was Juju as Goat Piss. That was not Goat Piss.
I thought Mike was Goat Piss.
Pete Carroll looks like he has a golden retriever named Daisy.
It's amazing.
Number 12, Drake, gone.
Bruce Arians looked like a car that needs more coolant.
That should have been a higher or lower seed.
Well, we had it as a... We had it as a 12, thinking it would upset Miami.
Right.
Number 13, Kent State. Gone.
John Tortorella looks like he refuses to say tall, grande, or venti when ordering a coffee at Starbucks.
Torts.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Don Levitard.
I think I'd like to know when I'm going to die, because I sort of romanticize the idea of like living like you were dying. Yeah. When you're on a countdown clock, imagine all the life experiences. Like I could go skydiving or Rocky Mountain climbing.
Stugatz.
Roy brings up a point, though. Like, Roy does bring up a point. Like you might be risking paralysis. In
just
the,
just totally trampled my bit. Yes. Just totally trampled my
bit.
But
Mike, what if, God forbid, it says you're going to die in like a week? What if it says a week, though? Like, or 2 days or a month? I don't want to know that.
Well, then you just love deeper and speak sweeter and give forgiveness to those that you've been denying. Yeah. Someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying.
Do you have more or is that it?
No, thank you guys for letting me go through that smoothly.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Is your bracket busted? Then State Farm's here to help with their second chance bracket. Play free during round of 16 for a second chance at a share of the cash. Check it out today at DraftKings.com/State Farm.
Yeah, Rodney Magruder's career earnings. $17.3 million for Rodney Magruder is a pretty solid life.
What? Fair play.
For anybody.
I mean, yeah.
He should John Jaso it and just start sailing around the world.
I think Chris is onto this. He's been talking to me about like, oh, if I had all this money, I'd just disappear.
John Jaso's got it figured out, man.
Now I want John Jaso and Rodney Magruder to sail around the world together.
Buddy cop movie?
Documentary on Netflix?
Jaso and Magruder.
Good cop tandem there.
It works.
Like a boat cop movie.
Sail around the world, righting wrongs.
We'll get to Mike Schur.
Solving marine crimes.
Yes, I like that.
We'll get on it, Mike.
We will get to Mike Schur in a moment, Stugatz. Marcus Stroman is someone in baseball, the rare person in baseball who has a lot of opinions and isn't afraid to share them. So what began pretty charmingly with Marcus Stroman celebrating his experience as a pitcher for the Puerto Rican team in the World Baseball Classic, with him writing on Twitter, "What an incredible experience. Beyond thankful for the Puerto Rican fans worldwide, the energy and passion excites me more than you know. We'll be back competing for Team Rubio in 4 years. The WBC atmosphere is second to none. Grateful for it all." And there was somebody from Barstool who was saying, among other things, "I literally hope every single one of these WBC losers has a player on their MLB team get injured tomorrow. I hope there are 29 injured stars and you all have to defend your stupid, worthless fake takes about a tournament that's fun for 5 seconds before it's completely forgotten. Asinine." Stroman wrote to that person, "You're an idiot. Very typical coming from a Barstool boy. You're completely irrelevant and your opinions will never hold any weight. Wishing harm, injury on anyone shows how trash you are. Players love competing for their countries and take pride in it. Poo-poo take, you clown," and then a clown emoji. "And also, you hate minorities, which is why you don't like the WBC. Just be honest, you little, petty, privileged, proud boy." Oh, Mike, like that. Let's go ahead and do stat of the day before we get Mike Schur's opinion here on Keith Olbermann and Barstool having no interest in the WBC.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day.
Thank you for turning on original sound so you can hear the music today. Folks, I was alerted to this by @PaulHembo on Twitter. First of all, good luck to the San Diego State Aztecs. They're trying to reach the Elite Eight for the first time in history. But do you know, Dan Le Batard, Stu Gatz, et al., who San Diego State's all-time leader in assists is? Is it A, Michael Cage, B, Kawhi Leonard, or C, Jalen McDaniels of the Philadelphia 76ers?
I'll guess Cage just because of the absurdity of Michael Cage being the all-time leader in assists.
It is none of the above, my friend. It's Tony Gwynn with 590 career assists.
What?
He is also their all-time leader in assists in a season with 221 in 1979 and 80, and most assists in a game. He had 18 assists on February 5th, 1980. Tony Gwynn is your all-time San Diego State Aztec assist leader.
So not outfield assists.
The baseball player?
Yes, the baseball player.
Yes, no, different Tony Gwynn.
He played played basketball as well. Marshall Faulk and Tony Gwynn, right? Those are the only two people I know who played at San Diego State. Or no,
and Kawhi. Kawhi played there.
And Dan McGuire.
Yes,
Mark
of
McGuire's
course.
Brother,
yes.
A giant quarterback.
Visor.
What do you think, Mike, about the cultural disconnect, it seems, between, and you love baseball, and I should remind people, the podcast that Mike Schur does for the Le Batard and Friends Network with Joe Posnanski covers baseball exceptionally well, but also talks about a variety of other things elsewhere. Your thoughts in general on what is happening around the World Baseball Classic and guys getting hurt and Keith Olbermann worrying about insurance?
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. I think Stroman kind of nailed it. Also, excellent use of alliteration at the end of that retort. The people who are complaining about it don't understand at all, clearly, how much the players enjoy this, because all you have to do is watch these games and see the like fervor with which they are going about their business. They are so revved up. They're so happy. They're so excited. They're dunking on their teammates who didn't play. Like in the interviews, they're saying, I don't know how anyone could want to stay in spring training and not come and join us for something like this. There is some rumor that there's certain teams and GMs and owners have basically forbidden their players to play. I don't know if that's been confirmed, but there are certain teams who shall remain nameless who appear to not allow their players to come play. I think that's part of what's going on, is the players are saying like, hey, get over it. But regardless, if you take the absurd position that no one should play in a tournament because it doesn't matter to you, the fan, just one individual fan, then you are missing, it's not even you're missing the forest for the trees, you're missing the entire point of competitive athletics. And you should just look at how the players are reacting. The players want to be there. The players are having, Trey Turner is having so much fun right now. Trout and Mookie Betts and Goldschmidt and Mark DeRosa and the entire team is like revved up. And like, why, how can that be a bad thing? Especially when the games are sold out, the ratings have been really good, the game is being spread internationally. Like, if you're so provincial as like a Barstool Mets fan that you can't understand that this is better for the game, then there's no hope for you.
I will say this though, Mike, because I am legitimately surprised to hear so many of these players, and I mentioned earlier in the show, they asked six Dominican players what would they rather be doing, World Baseball Classic or the World Series, and five chose the World Baseball Classic, and one said push, no difference. Nobody chose the World Series. I'm legitimately surprised by that, because I didn't think that it would be that lopsided among the players. Obviously, that's a small sample, but a lot of these players are giving voice to that. We were talking before you came on. My God, baseball is repressed in only this country. Maybe in Japan too. I don't actually know. But even in Japan, they have bat flips and I remember a million years ago, Orestes Destrada, you know, having a home run trot that everyone loved out there in Tokyo, like named a band after him.
Big O.
Orestes Emotionally Destrada is what I would have gone with there. That was promising theme for him. Yeah, no, it's incredibly repressed. That's why the World Baseball Classic is so... It's not my joke. It's Berman's. It's why the WBC is so fun. And that Boomer. Doesn't surprise me at all, frankly, because the Dominican has 11 million people in it. And yet they're sending like 30 of the 40 best baseball players in the world are from the Dominican Republic. And they don't get to represent... There is no other international tournament. There is no World Cup. There's no Euros in soccer. Like, they have an incredible amount of pride from being from the Dominican, as they should. And as a result, this is international competition is their chance to represent their country. Like, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I don't know how many of those guys who said that have played in the World Series, but that is absolutely what I would have expected, I would say.
Let's play for Mike Schur a little bit of Chris Cody and Billy Gill doing spring training baseball, which is to be respected. We have to respect spring training baseball because that's what people want their baseball players doing this time of year instead of the World Baseball Classic. And that respect is conveyed by the broadcast where Chris Cody and Billy Gill did a Marlins game on Friday on the radio.
So the count is 2 balls and no strikes on Juan Yepes. 2 aboard for the Cardinals. No score, top 2. The next offering's a called strike. It's 2-1.
I really want this guy to get out so I can say Juan Nopez.
That's so stupid.
Got a 2-1 pitch here from Trevor.
Way to pick it up.
let's hear some more from the comedy broadcast stylings of Chris Cody and Billy Gill.
Bases will be loaded here for Wilson Contreras, former National.
Nope, he was a Cub for life.
Well, at least we have our viral clip. Ah, the second visit from Mel this inning.
How many people do you think have turned their radio off?
Whoa! I think that there's radios being turned on all over America, even though you can only listen to this in South Florida.
Great man.
How many things did you guys get wrong because your prep stunk, Chris Cody? Because you told us the day before going out there that your prep stunk.
There's so many good clips from here, Dan. I didn't hear what you just said right there. I was trying to feed.
How many things did you get wrong because your prep stunk?
Well, Billy made a mistake. Yeah. There's one here. Right. I don't want to take all the shine here.
All right,
Billy gets the count wrong is the clip we should play
next.
All
right. Well, let's go ahead and just play an assortment of clips from Chris Cody and Billy Gill defecating all over spring training baseball.
It's a few crooked numbers up there for the Cardinals today. I suppose just 2. I suppose 2 is not all that crooked, but
1-0 pitch fouled back to the screen.
That was the 1-2.
1-2. Did I say 1-0? Yeah. I was looking right at it, too.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Here's what you got to do. You got to get a license to use audio clips from a radio broadcast from the WBC. And you got to intersperse them, like Trey Turner's go-ahead grand slam. And then you go to that, and then you go to like something from Dominican Puerto Rico, and then you go back to this. You got to make a 1 minute long back and forth that says like, look, there's a debate between what should these guys be doing, playing in the WBC or playing in spring training. Here, you decide.
That would
just intercut it for 30 seconds.
It's a perfect way to end this segment. We will do that right now with Chris Cody and Billy Gill, and then we will try and negotiate the rights to some World Baseball Classic sound so that we can punctuate this segment correctly.
Well, here's a little something for you on Joey. The 1-0 pitch is fought off foul. You know, he had the hamstring issues last year, right?
Of course.
Right. He actually learned how to run again this offseason.
They forget, or you got to learn to walk before you can run.
Right.
That's true.
The doc told them we got to change this up, or it's going to keep on happening as the fastball runs inside ball two.
So now he runs backwards.
Or was he doing before? Right. Like two steps with one leg and then one with the other.
2-1, a breaking ball called strike two.
He just found out that I can stay healthy if I just run backwards everywhere. So he backpedals every all the bases.
So stupid.
The 2-2.
Seemed to be the theme of this broadcast. So it's Kasilov going, this is stupid.
There's one more I think we should play where I ask if he misses bunting.
All right, we will get to that in a second. But even standing out, I want to do it the way Mike Schur is suggesting, if we can get indeed the sound to the World Baseball Classic. But
Fox Sports 1.
Even in the clip, though, it is startling how much more professional one broadcaster is than the other two who are in the booth.
That's debatable.
Yeah.
Marlins losing 10-0 here in the third. Next offering is shot foul.
Kyle, do you miss bunting?
I have always been a proponent of a much older style of baseball, and I do miss a good bunt once in a while.
A little small ball?
Yeah. Do you?
Nope.
Oh.
I like small ball, too. I like big ball.
Mm. your launch angle guy. Here's the 0-2 pitch. It misses.
That's what I'm trying to teach my daughter right now in T-ball.
Yeah?
Yep.
Off a tee or is it slow pitch?
No, T-ball. That's why.
That's why you call it T-ball.
The perfect ending is Marlins losing 10-0 in the third.
Great. It's great.
And Billy goes, it's still early. Billy goes, it's still early.
See you later, Mike. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Dan Le Batard.
Elton John does not like performing Crocodile Rock, but to the point we were making, I think he still does because he just knows the crowd wants to hear it.
Right, well, he has to.
I feel like that's safe. He might be litigious, but that was such a poor imitation of the song.
Stugatz.
We can all agree, Piano Man.
This might get shot.
The crowd needs to sing Piano Man.
Yeah, but I want to hear Billy Joel sing Piano
most
Man.
Most of it. He just lets you at the end go.
Does he still have chest? She just wants Suey nominations. That's what she wants.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She just wants a rack up Suey nominations.
Is that what she's going for?
I'm trying
for?
To avoid
fake
that.
Fake Crocodile Rock. Fake Billy Joel's Piano. Right, you got it. It's all right.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Is your bracket busted? Then State Farm's here to help with their second chance bracket. Play free during round of 16 for a second chance at a share of the cash. Check it out today at DraftKings.com/State Farm.
Happy for this guy. Happy for this school. They only lost three times all season, Stugatz. FAU was strong all season, and now they're in the Sweet 16. Dusty May with us now. And thank you for joining us, Coach, and congratulations. I'm curious, were you disappointed when Fairleigh Dickinson beat Purdue because you wanted Purdue?
No, his eyes lit up.
Disappointed is not the right word. We had we thought we matched up pretty well with Purdue and didn't know a lot about FDU. I watch a lot of Big Ten basketball because I'm from Indiana, so I was just a familiarity would have been nice, but it was shocking. But we also knew that Purdue was a tough matchup for FDU or vice versa. FDU could give them problems, so we didn't know what to think.
What were your wildest dreams at the beginning of this season?
Oh, well, probably. I thought I would have been very disappointed if we didn't win over 20 games and compete for a conference championship. We talk about it all the time. The last 2 weeks of the season, we want to be in the hunt for a championship, and fortunately, we surpassed our own expectations.
Your wildest dreams included Sweet 16 or did not?
Did not. Just wanted to get in the tournament and make a run at it. So, no, we never really thought that far in advance. Our players actually talked about those things before the staff did.
Are you recruiting now? Does this mean that you're in play now for making a seismic leap as a program?
Absolutely. There's a fine line between preparing for the next thing and looking towards the future. And I know the staff is busy texting and calling the recruits. And recruiting, there's been an uptick in recruiting. We're able to get involved with a lot higher caliber player, a reputation of a player. We obviously have great players now than we have in the past. So getting involved and closing the deal are two different things, though. So we'll see where it goes. But we are excited the exposure the program's getting.
If you make it to the Final Four, will you change your name to Dusty March?
Mm.
I don't think so. I'm a big fan of John Ralstein's Dusty We Sleep in May. So that was simple and witty.
Great joke.
Oh, come on.
Are you?
No, but May is having a march. I mean, he is.
Are you aware, Dusty, that ESPN was calling you Dustin this weekend by mistake?
Yeah, I have a very humble ego, so it didn't bother me at all. But yeah, I saw it a few times.
Are you taking tryouts currently for bench players like Chris Cody? Could he join? You went to FAU, didn't you, Chris?
I did
Cody?
Go to FAU. No one gives high fives on the bench better than me, Coach. I bring a lot of energy. I can whip the towel around, whatever you need.
He'll go viral for you.
There is value in that. Our bandwagon is wide open, and we'd love to have you on the bench.
But bench spots specifically.
Yeah. He has eligibility.
Coach, you don't have to play him. He just cheers, okay? That's what he does. He's great at it. I promise you.
If you, Metalark Media is willing, if you have any spots on your bench, we will put him at the end of your bench waving a towel if you are actually willing to do this.
Well, the size of some of these college staffs, I think we're about 20 to 25 people short, so I think we do have some space.
All right. We're going to have to figure out how to do this.
I'll be there
Friday. When we get off the air, we're going to negotiate with Coach. I want to tell people something about your history.
They play Thursday.
Before
it's a fine.
Before we do that, can you tell me...
ESPN's disrespecting them.
How many seats does your home gym seat?
3,100 and some change.
And so Madison Square Garden and that kind of crowd is going to be what for you guys?
Exciting. Unfortunately, we played in Columbus in their hockey arena, so it was like an NBA facility. The lights obviously aren't quite as bright as New York City, but our guys, they haven't been scared of any moments all year. It's all new territory, but they're a very confident group, and they almost, it's like they embrace the bigger stage.
Are you aware of how much you've earned in bonuses already?
I'm not, no. My wife asked the other day, and I said, I don't want to look because I don't want to jinx anything. So I'm sure that she it's probably spent already if she knows.
I will tell people at the end of this so as to respect your wishes of not being jinxed, but I will just say generally, you have earned more in bonuses already than you have in salary this year.
That's great news.
You have a great agent though that was putting in Sweet 16 clauses in your contract.
Yeah, I'm probably one of the only college basketball coaches that is agentless. So I've always kind of been under. It's not much of a business for me. I just wanted to be a ball coach, and so usually I just say, "Hey, man, just pay me what you think I'm worth." And the school, I think they've been very fair. So.
You might want to get one of those, Coach, an agent.
I mean, yeah, now especially.
That's what everybody tells me.
How have negotiations gone with you in the past if you're representing yourself? How does this work?
I usually they offer me a contract when I took this job, and I sent it to a friend from high school that's an attorney. He looked it over and made a few corrections. But other than that, just signed it. I was just so happy to have this job. And then they've given me... several extensions in the past, just kind of, just rewarded for the direction of the program. So even the same thing, all the terms stayed the same, except, there's a little bit of bump in pay once or twice. But like I said, I'm probably naive to the process. My wife says I'm a terrible, terrible businessman when it comes to the hoop side of it. But it's just kind of, I don't want to get distracted with all that stuff. I love coaching ball. I love our guys and just want to stay the course.
Coach, the way you guys play, it's very pro style. A lot of getting to the hoop or three pointers. What is the punishment for players if they shoot a long two?
There's no punishment. We just we give them the numbers. We don't even tell them not to shoot them. We just basically the propaganda machine is always rolling that our points per possession when we shoot those shots we can't win. And so there are times you have to shoot them, and we talk about too in a one possession situation. You got to get the best shot and get it a hole. But over the course of, last night was probably 70 or 80 possessions. I haven't looked at the numbers yet. Over the course of 70 or 80 offensive possessions, it's just not wise to shoot in those tough twos.
When you were a student manager under Bobby Knight and Indiana, did he yell at you much?
Just a few times, and every time I deserved it. So.
Do you remember what you were getting yelled at for?
A few times, yeah. There's just, you forget to do this. Or I stayed in the summers a few times and worked in the office when his secretary and personal assistants would go on vacation. And usually they would time it up when he was gone the same time they were. But a few times he was there, and you're trying to, obviously his phone was ringing a lot. This is before cell phones. So you're trying to page him into this guy and that guy, and you drop a few calls and whatnot, and he lets you hear about it. But it was always in jest. And, the one thing about Coach Knight, you're always on your toes. So it was never personal, but the tone was, you knew just to be on top of things.
You don't seem to be like that at all, though. You seem really nice.
By nature, I'm probably more like that. I've spent a long time trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I got this position, and how I am now is how I wanted to be. I never want to distract our players while they're playing. I'm a lot less friendly in practice, but in games, I feel like it's our guys' time to play, and if I'm not doing something that's helping them, then I need to stay out of the way. So I try to only contribute and not bring negative energy, bad body language. So that's just how I believe I wanted to be.
How did you get your start with Indiana basketball?
Long story, but I did yard work for a couple guys in Bloomington, Indiana, and one of them was the team doctor, who was also Coach Knight's close friend. We had a relationship. He started coming to my high school games, and he always told me he knew I wanted to coach, and he always just said, if you want to coach, you need to go to Indiana and be a manager for Coach Knight. And he would rattle off what some of the other guys were doing. I played Division II basketball 1 year and realized that that wasn't going to get me where I wanted to go, so I transferred back to Indiana. I think there's 100 to 150 applicants for 3 or 4 positions each year, and most of the positions are Coach Knight's former players' sons, or there's some relationship to the program. So if you don't have an in, or at that time, it was almost impossible to even get a volunteer student manager position.
Yard work?
Amazing.
And I did great yard work.
Were you good at yard work? What were your specialties as a gardener?
I could see him on the lawnmower. I really could.
Oh, all of it. Zero-turn mowers, whatever the case. Landscaping, mulch. I did it all.
What's the worst part of yard work, and what were you worse at?
The heat and weed eating. I'm still terrible at it.
What's your strategy for getting the dirt out of the fingers when they're really in there?
Yeah.
Go jump in the pool.
Oh, heady play.
Heady play, actually.
Dusty, I'm wondering, did your wife congratulate you or just ask about the bonuses?
My wife, what now? I'm sorry.
Did she congratulate you or just ask about your bonuses?
No, she congratulates me. She
that's
knows,
nice.
She's been a big part of this. I've worked extremely hard and been fortunate that a lot of people poured into me. So no, she's excited for our team and the staff and everybody. But no, she's actually only asked once about the bonus, just kind of as a joke.
Yeah, it's not my wife.
What is the best that you have felt this year, Dusty? The single game that represents the best feeling you've had.
Well, the Florida game was obviously monumental because it showed that we could go on the road. This was before Castleton got hurt for the Gators, and it just showed that it showed us that we could go on the road and beat a high caliber team, and they were playing really well at the time. So I think that game gave us a lot of confidence. But we played a bunch of good mid major programs, South Alabama and some schools like that, early in the season, and we were winning. You know, we would get up 30 or 40 points in some of those games. So I think that's when we realized, you know what, we were a lot better than we've been in the past.
Do you have any
essentially the same roster?
Do you have any problem with one of your guys doing a windmill dunk or trying to at the buzzer last night, or one of your guys, Janelle Davis, cursing during the post game interview? Are you a coach who's tough about that stuff, or do you let it go?
No, not at all. To be honest, if they did that to us, I would be more upset that we didn't get back on defense. And that's happened probably 30 times in my career, and it's never been an issue. I think it's just the bright lights in the stage. But in all honesty, guys, now all season with the metrics where you want offensive efficiency, you want defensive efficiency, you're working on your net, you're working on your KenPom. We've talked about it in some of those games where we've had big leads, that every single possession is important for our offensive metrics and for seeding and for an at-large. So all year we would put in our group of walk-ons or whoever, and we would stress to them, you have to guard and continue getting good offensive possessions, because these numbers mean a lot over the course of the season. And so I told our guys before that, hey, at the end of the game, if they're still pressing and they're not running out the clock, just go get another layup. I'm okay with it. Obviously, don't taunt, don't those types of things. So I don't have a problem with it. I wish he wouldn't have done it. Obviously, the windmill left-handed dunk probably had a little bit too much flavor, but he's an awesome kid. And like I said, we've talked about it all year, playing every single possession. And we finished in 12th in the net and got a 9 seed. So obviously, it wasn't near as important as we thought it was.
All right, Coach, we're going to hoot you out of here now. Foul Owl on the prowl. Come on, join us.
Hoot. 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 Ho
Yes,
coach. Get him on your bench, coach.
Let's go. And yes,
and
Chris Cody will be there Friday for a game that is Thursday. Thank you, coach.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.